And she said, well, it's not. It's translated as vibration, sound, or name, right?
Right.
And I was like, okay, so how did we get love from there? And then the idea that it was Jesus' most important message to us was love. And if he was to put that in place and write this gospel lesson before us, that's probably how he would have worded it. And that just kind of like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one thing from this discussion that we had. She's teaching you're teaching a class on creation, and I'm excited to see how where it goes, because I always thought there were just the, I'm a pastor, I'm a theologian. I'm not a creation theologian, okay? I'm not an expert on the creation narratives in Scripture. But to think that there's more than two creation narratives in Scripture, it was just kind of mind-boggling to me. And it kind of connected a lot of dots in my mind and in my, I guess, empty spaces in my theology and confusions, really, about how can there be two creation stories in Scripture, let alone three or four. And so I think we're going to hear a little bit more. And now, you know, John 1 is definitely in the beginning. It's a creation story, just one that I guess never computed fully in my brain. We have another reading before us today that you wanted to talk about, the one from Sirach.
Yes. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the reading from Sirach, because it is a sort of a continuation or an underscoring of another of the creation stories in the Bible, and that one is from Proverbs. So I'd like to just read you the Proverbs text to have a background at some level to understand what you heard today in the first reading.
Which proverb is it?
This is Proverbs 8:22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its bounty, so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in humankind. So that's also a creation story as part of the Bible. And if you listen to the watery depths, the springs overflowing, the mountains in place, the fields, the dust, you get a sense of the first reading in the Scripture is the Genesis 1 story. And so you see some very clear parallels to the Genesis 1 story, things happening kind of at the same time, or same series of steps are outlined in the Proverbs reading. Now, the big question that comes forth from this reading, and also from the reading we heard this morning, the first reading, okay, who's talking? Right, who's saying this? Where is this coming from? So in both of these readings, it's identified as the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. And at least in my understanding, this Holy Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit that continues, if you think in a Trinitarian fashion, right? Where did the Holy Spirit come from? Well, another way of looking at this story and the first reading is really about the origin of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes from God, is birthed from God at the very beginning of anything else. Okay, so you get this sense. So in the reading this morning, you get more of a sense. I came forth from the mouth of the Most High. And what does God do? God speaks creation, right? So from the mouth. And covered the earth like a mist. Okay, so there's some presence that this Holy Spirit comes forth and goes forth, right? It's not contained, but it spreads.
When I think of mist, I think of something that really permeates everything. Like, how many of you have been up on Haleakala, Polypoly area, and have you been engulfed by the cloud that comes through every few minutes, it seems like? Yeah? That's kind of what I envision. The Spirit of God is just like permeating every aspect of ourselves as we breathe. It goes, you know, it's coming into us, into our lungs, and we exhale it. And it's just like this image of God in the cloud, in the mist, which is prevalent throughout Scripture even.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of blows my mind. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, it's great. I dwelt in the highest heavens, right? Haleakala's right up there. And my throne was in a pillar of cloud, just like you said. Okay, so you get the sense of this Spirit coming to being and spreading everywhere. And the way that I think about it, and one of the things that we get to do in the creation class, is we get to look at all kinds of different creation stories, cultural creation stories. We also get to look at the science creation story as part of our conversation. And so what I tend to think about when I think about this mist is, if you think of this notion from science of wave and particle, okay? So this Holy Spirit of wisdom is like the wave, okay? Not with form, but very real. And the created reality becomes much more like the particle, right? And we have a particle nature, right? Our physicality. And we have also a wave nature. So that's true about us, and it's true about the whole universe.
This was not in our conversation, and my mind's blown even a little bit more.
I told Joel we should have issued seat belts, you know, on these stools. A comment? You get a sense of the mother of God,
yes.
Right? The mothering of God giving birth.
I feel it kind of balances it.
It balances
very well. Something that has been unbalanced for.
Makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes me happy too.
Thank you for saying that. I was afraid to say that. So. Alone I encompass the vault of heaven and transverse the depths of the abyss. So again, you get this sense of this all permeating presence, above, below, everywhere. This Holy Spirit of wisdom is dispersed at the very first act of creation before anything else. Over the waves of the sea, over all the earth, and over every people and nation, I have held sway. So that's just a sense of how the reading from Proverbs and the reading today link together as creation stories, right? So that's one of the other one, creation stories.
It gives me a lot of comfort, I think the word, comfort, to read that compassed the vault of heaven and traversed the depths of the abyss. Over waves of the sea, over all the earth, over every people and nation, I've held sway. Among these, I sought a resting place. It's like the Spirit of God breathed forth by God, right? is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's among us. It's within us. It's around us. It is what connects us. It's what makes us one creation under God. And it's something that I've never been able to fully express, and I don't know that I'll ever be able to fully express or to imagine, but that connection that we all feel with one another, that love connection that Jesus teaches us about and brings forth in our communities, you know, that's what it is. That's the Spirit of God manifest among us. And that is a gift. It's something that just kind of like boggles my mind. And that's not too hard to do, but it's true. But it does. It really boggles my mind, even more so than the fact that there are multiple creation stories in Scripture, other than the two in Genesis. I think we have to wrap it up here. But what I want you all to kind of take away from this experience is that Scripture is living. And it is living because the Spirit is moving through it. The Spirit comes through hearing of Scripture, of the Word as well. And so as a living piece, the meaning changes. And it's fluid and it's dynamic. And that's how, you know, I can preach on John 1 100 times, 100 different ways, and 100 different aspects of life, right? Have you ever read the Bible and you're going through something, maybe it's terrible, and you find comfort in one particular reading? Have you ever taken the Bible and just opened it up and read without any context? Tell me, you all have done it, right? Yeah, everyone has done it. It's almost like the happy eight ball thing, right? You say, okay, how am I going to do today? And he says, nobody knows. Okay. You know, it's kind of like that. But then that text that you come across and you read absolutely changes what you're experiencing, right? That's the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to leave you with one little story. I probably shared it before and then we'll end. And I have absolutely no doubt that the Spirit will act as the Spirit decides to act. And this is about my first sermon I ever preached. Have I told you this? No? It was in... keep hearing this buzz. Joel, is there feedback? It was the first sermon I ever preached. I filled in for a pastor in Stockton, Illinois. He was shoveling snow off the roof of the church, and he fell off the roof, and he broke both of his legs and his hips, and he was out. And so I was a very, very poor student who was looking for money, basically, and they were offering this little stipend. I saw the thing, and I was like, okay, I'll go. And I had to teach confirmation, too. And so I prepared for this sermon. I had a couple weeks to do so. I was in the library, had all the books out, all of the commentaries out, writing notes, you know, doing all this stuff. And I had this manuscript written, and it was beautiful. Beautiful. And my wife and I got in the car, and we drove the hour over to Stockton, Illinois, from Dubuque, Iowa, which is where we were. And we got to the church. And we got it, or on the way, we were about 10 minutes out. My wife said, oh, can I read it? And I was like, sure, yeah, here you go. Every confidence in the world that it was a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful piece of art. She read it. I'm driving along. It's kind of quiet. I get a little nervous. I'm looking at the deer in the fields. Oh, there's a turkey. She says, I said, what do you think? She says, you can't preach this. This is horrible. Yeah, in many words. And I was like, what do you mean it's horrible? I put so much time and effort, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, oh, gosh, okay. Well, she started to tell me what was horrible about it, and I said, oh, my gosh, you're right. You are right. I can't do that. I have to change it. We get to the church. We got, like, 10 minutes before the service, I'm back there in the sacristy trying to change the sermon, scratching things out, moving things around, and finally it was time to go in, and I was like, I didn't do anything. I'm just going to read it. Just going to read it. So I got up there and prayed and led the service, and I preached that sermon. I read the sermon, and wouldn't you know it, after the service was over, 6 or 7 people came up to me and said, that was such an amazing sermon. Pastor, I'm not a pastor, I'm just a SEM student. So they said, okay, can I have a copy of it? My son is in prison, and I think he would really like it. You know, all these things. And I'm like, I absolutely know without a doubt that the Spirit of God uses what the Spirit of God will use to get the point across to whoever needs to hear it. Right? The Spirit is pervasive, and it permeates everything. Your words, your actions, everything. From that point on, I gave up manuscripts. No, just kidding. I stuck with manuscripts for a number of years, and then decided, you know, forget it. I'm not going to do the manuscript thing anymore, since the Spirit's just going to use what I say anyway. However, once I could really, no, I couldn't say anything. But take that with you today. I hope that gives you some comfort that the Spirit of God is using you. If the Spirit of God can use me, the Spirit of God definitely is using you. Okay? Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for being here with us. We give you thanks for your Spirit that permeates all living cells that we breathe in and out every day. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for the connection that you have with us and for us to one another in love. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen that connection, strengthen that love that we have for one another, a love which binds, and a love which grows, and a love which brings forth new life. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done and for all that you continue to do, for leading us and guiding us, for showing us your way. We pray this in your holy name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roxanne.
We survived.